Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into September. The Maryland Crab Cake Tour, it's not over. We're going to be at the Chaucer next Friday, taking the show on the road each and every Friday for Purple Friday, and getting you ready, as Luke Jones will be out on the backfields of Owings Mills out at the Ravens facility. We're getting you ready for Las Vegas. But before we get there, I was a little remiss. I missed a few phone calls over the week. I wanted to get together with Bruce Posner. He, of course, hosts Chirp Talk, as well as a whole bunch of other things on Monday mornings here between 8 and 9. It'll be Ravens Talk coming up in 2 weeks as well. But the backside of the golf tournament, Bruce, I heard you and Dennis talking about the golf tournament before it began last Thursday, and I was out on the road out in Western Maryland. I wasn't supposed to go to the golf tournament. I wound up coming home Friday night from Frederick right after J.K. Dobbins ripped up his knee, and I threw a text to John Maroon at 7 in the morning on Sunday and said, John, I'm in Baltimore. Can you let me in? And they gave me a media pass. Bruce, I had never been to a golf tournament anywhere in my life and walked around, certainly not with a media pass. Didn't get me any place special, maybe a free water or whatever, because there's a lot of walking involved. That was a hell of a tournament, man. And I know you were plaudatory of it ahead of time. You're really looking forward to it. I can't say that anybody that participated could have been disappointed with what happened out of Caves this week.
It was magnificent. It was majestic. And what it did for Baltimore and the Baltimore golf world is untold. The mentions of Caves Valley, of Baltimore, of Maryland, of Owings Mills, just went on for days after days. Before the tournament with Jim Nantz in the Northern Trust tournament the week before, and then Caves Valley on NBC and Paul Azinger. What it did, I tell you what, I felt so much pride. It was so great, and the crowds were great. Yeah, a little misbehaved with the Bryson DeChambeau heckling. It's not just a problem in Baltimore. It's a problem everywhere. And the golf world is taking care of it.
Well, PGA. That sort of started at that trash open out in Phoenix years ago, right? Like the sort of behavior of golf fans. But one thing I noticed being out there, Bruce, it was really quiet. I've been to tennis matches and it's quiet. I was the loudest guy on the course last week. It's quiet out there.
Listen, Nestor, it was magnificent. It was beyond belief. If you were there Sunday, you were there for one of the great days of golf in the last decade. The match, the runoff, I don't know if you stayed for the whole thing, between Bryson DeChambeau and Patrick Cantlay was absolutely epic. Two guys going tooth and nail, playing out of their minds, watching Bryson nail 340-yard drives down the middle almost every time was insane. And the putting of Patrick Cantlay, he took himself up to the top level with that one round. And guess what happens this week? They do it again. So in other words, more than anything else, though, we had the 70 greatest golfers in the country, in the world.
I didn't even go looking for Mickelson. I spent 4.5 hours there. My wife's like, did you see Phil? And I'm like, no. He was
so far out of it.
And waiting at the end, the difference. I got there right as Spieth was coming off, which – yeah, he'd been out there 4 hours, and he was one of the first guys to come off. I didn't look for goal. I ran into Sergio Garcia. I ran into John Rahm. I saw DeChambeau putting, but I didn't look for – I didn't stalk golfers. I wish I would have, though. I feel like an idiot for not seeing Phil Mickelson.
Listen, you're obviously not a huge golf fan.
I'm not.
All right?
I'm not.
You admit it. But you just rattled off seven names that you do know, and they were all there. And it's very rare you find a golf tournament where everybody is there. But when they're shooting for an eventual $15 million first prize at Eastlake, all right, in the first week of September, everybody's going to show up. The money's just too big, even for them. And they were there, and it was tooth and nail. You had the greatest golfers in the world, and they were in Baltimore. Can you imagine that? They were in Baltimore at Caves Valley. Well, you saw Caves Valley.
Bruce, are you old enough to remember going to Mount Pleasant? Did you go to that tournament 50 years ago, or did you not?
I'm not going to lie to you. I did not go to the tournament.
I love it.
But you want to hear something? A couple years later, I went to – you'll like this. I went to an exhibition between Palmer, Nicklaus, and I can't think of her name, the great Carol Mann, the great golfer from Baltimore. They played around at Pine Ridge, and I was there, and it was so special, it was beyond belief.
How many people were there?
I would say probably 15,000. All right.
Oh, it was a big deal.
Oh, it was exhibition. It didn't count, but to watch Nicklaus and Palmer would be like watching a match play between Tiger and Rory in their heyday.
Right. You
know, it would be something that even
everybody, the same amount of people that were there for Caves this weekend would be there for that.
Yeah, it's today's world. Right.
Bruce, I'll say this. Bruce Posner's our guest. You can find him here on Monday mornings and again around lunchtime with a rebroadcast after the Ravens games. I guess it'll be before the Ravens game next week, getting you ready for the Raiders. The golf thing, and look, you can't be into everything. You know what I mean? I worked at the sports department 35 years ago. There were some people into everything, but I mean, I wrote the fishing column for Bill Burton, and I was talking about that last month. You can't be into everything. Golf is one of those things. NASCAR, you know, open wheel racing, those weren't my things, but I liked horse racing. Certainly the Big Four, and on soccer, I'm more into soccer than a lot of people are, right? So golf for me, doing this thing on Sunday, and I was joking with Dennis last week, but I talked to some other people. Jack Gibbons, when I was a young reporter at the Sun back in the late 80s, 1987, put me in a car on a Sunday, and I drove to New Jersey to cover the LPGA Championship. Now, it rained that day. I think it was at Saddle River. I don't remember where it was, but I went up there to rain. I never even made it onto the course. The next year is when Annika Sorenstam won here. The publisher of the paper wanted it covered because he loved golf and all that. So that's the closest I've ever been to going. Well, I almost went to the Masters a couple years ago. I had an invite to go to the Masters when my wife was doing, you know, getting better, and we couldn't go because she wasn't well enough. We wound up not going. Well, so I've never been to a golf tournament. Sunday, I wasn't supposed to go. So it was really hot Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Like, I wouldn't have gone out there in 100 degrees. It just wouldn't have been pleasant for me. Sunday, one of the reasons I went is the weather was great. And I went out there, it was cloudy, 80 degrees. I spent 4.5 hours. I walked everywhere. I saw
it was perfect weather to walk.
It was a beautiful day. I feel bad that my wife didn't go because she would have enjoyed it for a good walk. It was a beautiful day. I'll say this, being out there on Sunday and not really knowing a lot about golf, right? And I played golf, but I'm not an advocate for it. It's just not my thing, right? I'm out there. Everyone that was out there was hardcore. And I know that, like they said, was a great day for Baltimore and whatever. I don't get the vibe that it was all Baltimore people there. It felt like a very, very regional. If you love golf and you live within 100 or 200 miles of here, if you live in Philadelphia, you live in Harrisburg, you live in Eastern Shore, you live in Richmond, you're in West Virginia, Pittsburgh, wherever. This felt to me like the people that were there on Sunday, they were golf. It wasn't a party, you know, it wasn't a drinking thing. There were a lot of bros there and there was drinking going on, but people were really into the golf. And that was kind of neat, because I thought of it more as a picnic than a serious thing. The people that were there were serious. And this is the weird part, Bruce, you've been to golf tournaments. It's not a great way to see the tournament. You know, if you really are serious about it, it's a better TV event in that way than only
another shot. But when you can stand 5 feet away from Bryson DeChambeau and see the torque and the swing that he develops. But Nestor, I'm going to tell you something that you probably do know. The only real dedicated golf show in this state is on what channel? Do you know?
You
on your channel, my show. And those when the Ravens end, almost every other week, I have Patrick Corner, who's the head teaching pro at BCC. He's on with me for 20, 25 minutes, and all we do is talk golf. We talk every tournament, every pro tournament, and people listen everywhere. And I get comments from it. I put it on my website. It is – so you can brag about that.
And the people that love golf – love golf. And that's one of the reasons this makes it very hard for me to love golf, because if I go out, you're taking it far more seriously than I am in any capacity. And it's always been off-putting to me in that way, that it has been the people I've been around take it too seriously for me to be around it. It's too serious. And therefore you should go be serious and enjoy it. And I should leave you alone and let you be serious. I'm not making fun. It's none of that. I didn't catch it. I mean, back in the 90s, I went out after Jack Nicklaus had a charge at in Augusta and didn't win.
No, he did win in 86.
Maybe in the 90s, he had another two days where he played well. And it was the tournament that Norman blew. Whatever tournament that where he had the big
six-shot lead. It was the Masters.
What year? 95, 6, 7, 8?
Yeah, somewhere in that vicinity.
It was that time, Nick Faldo. I had Nick Faldo on the show who talked about that. Don't let the bastards get to you. So there you go. So I took up golf and I took lessons because people said, oh, you golf, you're going to meet the right people. You'll do a lot of business on the golf course.
You might. Hey, you might have. All right.
Okay. I had to like it.
Right.
So I went out and I carried like a baseball bat, right? Like I played a lot. My name's Aparicio. I played a lot of baseball, right? So the notion that you would keep your arms locked out became something that I had to like really get it adjusted to and learn how to hit the golf ball. Once I learned how to hit the golf ball, I hit it okay. I mean, I feel like I play putt-putt. I feel like I would get better at it. But the only way you'd ever get better is to play a lot. And I didn't love it enough to play a lot. Therefore, I'd never get good at it. And when I did go out, I wound up with three people that were taking it way more seriously than I was. And I just decided, you know what?
This would be like
coming into your kitchen when you're cooking and telling you how much I don't like the food or I'm not interested in or I don't eat that seafood. Just go enjoy it. And that's been the issue for golf with me over 27 years ago, I guess I took lessons. 25 years ago, I took lessons and I played it. I played rounds. I went out. It's like movies. Bruce, my wife gives me such a hard time because I don't watch movies. I stopped 20 years ago. I stopped watching movies because I haven't seen movies I like. I've just dedicated I ate a lot of crab cakes this month. I did a lot of traveling. I saw a lot of people. I talked politics, but I just didn't get it. And I admire that people love it that much. Like I love my cat that much. People love golf, man. They do.
Yeah, they do. And I'll tell you, my club, Woodhome, which is very close to Caves. All right. And you know a lot of people from Woodhome, I'm sure. We hosted a lot of people who came from out of town to if they wanted to play that were involved with the PGA. We had a foursome from Dubai that came in to see the tournament. We had people from all over the country. So did BCC. What it did for golf in this area, Nestor, I can't explain to you that it just put us on another level. And Lord knows you're a Baltimore positive guy. Baltimore needs everything positive said about it that you can.
Because this weekend
so
provided
much,
that in a yeah, big way.
It's so much negative that we need the positive. And to me, I even what Caves Valley did and the heads of Caves Valley did was magnificent. All right. To get that tournament here. And then BMW.
And then pull it off.
Yeah, and BMW, they came in, and that was that. All right, what they put into it. Everybody with the BMW got special tent seating. They got special parking. I mean, it's corporate, you know, but it was just magnificent. I don't know how else I could describe it. It was.
I loved it, too. And I'm a moderate golf guy. I'm not an anti-golf guy. It was a long day. It was a long weekend. It was a beautiful tournament. The playoff was incredible. Let's talk a little football, Bruce, because I'm going to get you ready for Mondays. We're ramping into this thing.
It's all football now, minus the Ryder Cup. Ryder Cup is now that's you got to watch that, Nestor. I'm going to nail you down to watch the Ryder Cup.
I know the Ryder Cup is.
But
we beat everybody's ass all over the world.
We try to. They've been beating us lately, okay? It's us against the world. But anyway, it's all football. You know, once football, that takes over everything. And in my mind as well. But
optimistic?
I'm disappointed in the fact that Harbaugh played J.K. Dobbins. I'll never understand it. These exhibition games are the biggest ripoff in sports. They're a waste of time. And look what happened. The Ravens' season could have been very seriously damaged without J.K. Dobbins. Say whatever you want. We're a worse team without him. There's no doubt about it.
You're right about that.
Saying that out loud is not hard.
And I had Peter King on today. I talked to Mike Tenier from Football
Outsider.
Peter
King is a big advocate that our season has been damaged. Okay.
Oh, very much so. Very much so. And, you know, we talked about this a little bit and what the preseason is, what it represents, what it used to be, what it is now. I was in Atlanta the night Michael Vick got torn in half by Adelis Thomas. You know what I mean? Ended all the momentum that franchise had at that point. And then the dogs came and all that. If it were Lamar, think about that. Lamar ran the ball on the play before, and that
he got sacked twice.
Yeah,
in four plays, he got sacked in eight plays. He got sacked twice. I mean, okay, Lamar had barely been to practice. You could understand doing one, you know, one series maybe. But what did four runs do for J.K. Dobbins? I mean, it was ridiculous. And now we lost a powerful source of our offense that would have helped the passing game. You know that. And now we got to overcome it. All right. And it just made me sick. And it's exhibition games. Look, Maryland's playing West Virginia this week. Minnesota's playing Ohio State. They haven't scrimmaged anybody. They haven't played anybody. They're going right to war. Why can't the NFL do it? What do you need exhibition games for?
Well, and I think that's going to be an argument that's made all along. And, you know, who's really going to make that argument? The investors, who are the owners, who invest money in football players and then have them rip their knee up, invest draft capital to try to win. This isn't in anybody's best interest playing these football games in August, and it hasn't been in a long, long time. That being said, where are you with the confidence? The defense has played great. I mean, the depth is there. I mean, we've always been a defensive organization. That maybe that's part of this, that all the attention's on Lamar, but maybe we'll win games by playing defense this year.
Look, we've done it for – we won Super Bowls by playing defense without a quarterback, okay, or without a great quarterback. No offense to Trent. But in other words, you need a great defense to do anything. The Ravens have it. Their secondary is ungodly. It's so good. The linebackers are in line. Patrick Queen looks like a different player. Why? He had OTAs. He learned how to play the game.
Last he's got a single-digit number. That right. Makes him play better.
Maybe. Last year, he came into his first game. He never played. You know, it just was like he barely practiced. This year, it's different. Our defensive line is great. I love the additions of Zeitler and Villanueva and making the offensive line deep and strong. Eric DaCosta has been stealing fifth-round draft picks everywhere. I don't know how he does it. That's his only function of the exhibition season. He steals five draft picks a year. He's incredible.
Well, the other part of that is when – and this isn't about players to me because they're not going to draft 14 players. What happens is when you're sitting in the first round and you're drafting 29th and there's a player at 23, this is how you get there. Being able to move these guys. When there's a guy in the second round, you got to move up 20 spots. Boom. To get a guy you want. The packaging these picks is how it happens. So I said this early in the week. I said they used the whole cow. They use the whole cow out there. They don't let anything go to waste. And those draft picks certainly aren't wasteful.
And you know what else? You know, I've never really talked to him one-on-one about it, but I've heard Bisciotti. He's not in favor of exhibition games. He's the last guy in the world who wants to take advantage of the fans for a few dollars. And furthermore, Nestor, we have one exhibition game. Do you think anybody would have been upset if the individual price of each game would have been raised $10 not to play that stupid exhibition game, all right, against the Saints that literally nobody played in, all right? And here, guys played, J.K. Dobbins gets hurt, and like you said, Michael Vick, it turned a franchise around. God, Lord forbid if Lamar would have gotten hurt. Look, if you play during the season, you get hurt, that's life. Last thing I got to ask you, because I know you're under time. Urban Meyer, it didn't even take him for the first game of the season. Can you imagine the stupidity of saying, I cut this guy because of vaccinations, because he wouldn't get vaccinated? I mean, and now he's drawn the wrath of the entire NFLPA. He didn't have to say a word. All he had to do was do what he wanted to do. You're allowed to keep and cut whoever you want. But he had to say something. He had to inject himself. He had to create a controversy. This guy's unbelievable, all right? He is just – he's in another world.
He's fun to dislike, and now he's in the league. So, you know, it was kind of like when Saban came in and got pushed around down in Miami. You know, okay, come on in. I mean, he's coaching the Jaguars. How do you think that's really going to go, Bruce?
I don't know. Probably as well
as it went for the ball coach down in D.C. before it was all over, right?
Well, look, they do have Trevor Lawrence. How good is he? We don't know yet. Rookie quarterbacks, you'd never know. Look at all the ones that fell by the wayside the past few years.
Yeah, I don't hear anybody saying Cincinnati's going to be any good because they got Joe Burrow, right?
You know, I hear they're picked 3-13 or 3-14 or something. But Hey, I can't wait, though, for – are you going to Vegas? I'm going to ask you that.
I am going to Vegas. I'm just going to go late. I'm going Sunday, not Friday. I'm not going out and putting the lampshade on my head in Vegas and you know, the masks and the finances of the, how much it costs to be there. I want to go to Vegas when I can do Vegas, and that's not right now. I'm going to the game. I'll be there Monday night. We'll be broadcasting along. Luke and I will be doing post-game as well. But – it's still very COVID world to me. Having been 30 days all around the state and moving around, it's been great. I feel blessed that I'm home and safe and good like that. I'm not going to be as moving around as much this winter because I don't like the signs of what I'm seeing, especially when I talk to doctors.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're right, but you're vaccinated, I assume. And
I am very much. Yeah. So, yes.
And as I am, and my wife is, and I'm, you know, to me, you have to be safe all the time though. But I have to tell you that Vegas is something special, and that has become the destination for football. There's no doubt about it. That's where everybody wants to go. And apparently there's a lot of Ravens fans going to Vegas.
I'm hearing from them. You know, I tried to throw some parties out there. None of the restaurants like wanted Ravens fans. They all feel like we're busy. It's Vegas.
They don't need you. Here. They just don't need you.
They don't need you. No doubt about it, to your point. And they're not really catering to Ravens fans out there. It's the grand opening of a franchise in Las Vegas that's theirs and the first night. It's their night. It's not the Ravens' night. It's the Ravens' night to go spoil it. But, you know, it's a Raiders party out there. Make no mistake about that.
Yeah, it'll be a great game. I tell you what, the first two games, get me out of it 1-1, and I'll be happy.
No, I'm never
happy. Oh, I'll be happy. I'll be happy. I tell you, that's not going to be an easy win. Everybody, the Ravens are 4.5-point favorites. I'm not so sure about that. First game of the year, Lamar's barely played. It's going to be a learning curve. Then we come home to face our kryptonite. I mean, I'm scared of those first two games. Get me out 1-1. Let me tell you something else. You don't want to start 0-2.
Well, I would say losing to the Raiders would really put a lot of pressure on them to beat the Chiefs, right? Beating the Raiders and coming back on a short week. I think we expect them to lose to the Chiefs, don't we? I mean, kind of, sort of. Like, if they beat them, we'd be surprised.
Somewhere up here, we think, I'm not sure we can beat that team yet. But you know what? In order to be the best, you got to beat the best. And until they do, they're going to have that hanging on them. You know that as well as I do.
I love how you Ric Flair'd me. You want to be the man? You beat the man. Woo!
I should have said woo, you know. But it's true.
It's absolutely true. And hey, good luck to the Terps, man. I stumbled into West Virginia briefly there. You know, everything west of Cumberland's West Virginia anyway, because like that's what they don't put Maryland flags up. They put West WVU everywhere. So
hey, the rivalry is back, and it's a great rivalry, and it should be every year. It's back for the next 2 years at least. And Maryland hits the road with a big, big game that can really, if they could pull the win off. You know, their other non-conference games are not as tough. If they could pull this off, you know, and go 500 in the Big Ten, it's going to be a great year. You know, Loxley wins 7 or 8 games. He's a hero, right or wrong. He gets us into a bowl, wins 7 games. You know, 8 games, they put a statue up for him, okay? 7 games would be great. And we got the quarterback. We got a great offensive coordinator. And I'll be reviewing that game on Monday. From Saturday at 3:30, you're going to get out there this year.
I will be watching Saturday at 3:30 from home. I'm actually home here this month. I've been all over the great state of Maryland here this month.
At some point,
I'm going to have a crab cake with you, Bruce.
I love the crab cake tour. You got me. I was listening the other day, and you were, I can't think of the name of it. You were talking with this guy, and you dissected that crab cake down to the first ingredient. And I have to tell you something. I couldn't wait to go to the place. All right.
Well, that's very sweet of you to say that. There's 31 more. I'm putting them all out online, so you'll get to see the full video, get to check it out. I'm putting synopsis. I'm going to be doing this most of the fall, releasing my tour results over the next – and I'm doing 31 crab cakes in 31 days next August. I'm committed.
Listen, when I heard this guy and you talking about the interior of the crab cake, I love crab cakes. Who doesn't love crab cakes? And you, he uses this instead of that. And somebody else used something different. And I think this guy was on the Eastern Shore. So it's not around the corner, wherever it was. But the way that show was fantastic. I couldn't stop listening to it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Well, right. I'll be telling more crab cake stories, football stories, golf stories, college football stories, Just no Orioles stories right now. It's football season. Bruce will be here doing Terp Talk and doing all things Monday morning with Ravens readiness for
the And we'll have Carl Science. We'll have Carl Science on with me, of course.
How's Carl doing?
Carl's doing great. And we're going to surprise you. We're going to have Barry Levinson on a few times.
I'd so, love to hear Barry Levinson it's gonna be on WNST.
It's going to be a rock and roll show, as it always has been. You know, we're going into our third year. Can you believe that?
It's crazy. Well, I appreciate you, and we'll have you here 8 o'clock Monday morning, ready to go, all riled up after Ravens games, hopefully 1-0, 2-0, 3-0, 4-0. Bruce is here at 8 a.m., rebroadcast around lunchtime on Monday. Always appreciate you, my brother. Keep the Terps safe. And listen, tell those West Virginia people, go back
country,
into the
go
woods.
Go back to your country roads. All right.
There he goes. Right. Bruce Posner, Terp Talk. Find him out on the interweb. Find him here on Monday mornings at 8 a.m. You can find me sometimes outside of a Royal Farms over in the Eastern Shore eating that delicious fried chicken. It's not Chicken Palooza anymore, but those Western fries still are tasty. The Crab Cake Tour is alive. We're at the Chaucer next Friday on the 10th. We're going to be with Johnny O at Costas the following week, and I'm putting together Brandon Scott or Mayor over Coco's later in the month. We're going to Pappas, going to Conrad's, going to a lot of places. Stay tuned. I'm putting all the dates together. Hopefully folks come out and support our Crab Cake Tour here locally. I'm Nestor.
I love Costas's Crab Cake. Their crab cake is fantastic.
I had it last Monday. I had two. I had a broiled and a fried. Did it the right way.
Yeah, Johnny O's a big fan of Costas, too, I know.
50 years they've been doing at Costas, so it's our 50th anniversary. We're going to celebrate that as well. All right, I'm Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.